Medical marijuana business applications surged higher at the end of August, and industry officials anticipate a greater rush of submissions as the state's September 18th deadline draws closer. This is the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. An official with the Arkansas Department of Finance and Administration said that Wednesday, August the 30th, was the busiest filing day for cultivation and dispensary applications since the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Commission opened the process on June 30th. DFA spokesman Scott Harden says the agency now has in hand 5 dispensary applications and 2 for cultivation. The state is accepting bids for 5 cultivators and up to 32 dispensary operators. In a story on our sister website at talkbusiness.net, Wesley Brown explains that applications must be delivered to the commission by September 18th, at which point applicants must submit a $15,000 fee. Applicants must also provide proof of assets or a surety bond in the amount of $1 million, along with proof of at least $500,000 in liquid assets. Fort Smith businessman Storm Nolan, who founded the Arkansas Cannabis Industry Association, says he expects applications will pick up ahead of the September deadline, but he also expressed frustration with some media reports suggesting medical cannabis might not be available because of lack of sufficient interest. The state health department has only approved 769 applications for doctor-approved medical marijuana ID cards to buy pot, and that's far short of what some industry officials predicted would be between 20,000 and 40,000. Our reporters have much more online about the state's newest industry. Just search through our archives at nwabusinessjournal.com or our sister website at talkbusiness.net. This is the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Walmart U.S. Chief Merchandising Officer Steve Bratsbys said the retailer is passionate about offering a wide assortment of quality private label products. It's a sentiment closely analyzed by suppliers, both branded and otherwise. Walmart offers private and proprietary brands across more than 20 business units and general merchandise, and that includes everything from tools to toasters to tank tops to towels, toys, and many other products in between. A mainstay bath towel or a great value gallon of milk are just a couple of examples. Jamie Dennis, the CEO of Vendor Masters in Bentonville, spoke with executive editor Michael Tilley recently about private label and why those products are of growing importance to Walmart and other retailers.
Walmart's philosophy has always been to save money, live better, and so by giving them a greater choice as far as value, great quality, value prices, basically keeps them true to what their mission has always been. As they expand in other areas and as online retailing grows, it's definitely a hot topic these days, a way to stay more competitive and make sure that their customers remain loyal to the brands that they offer every day.
And on the cost side of it, Walmart sees margins there that they don't maybe with the branded products. Give me some insight, if you can, into how big that margin may be. Is that why it's so important to Walmart to push?
I don't think margin is obviously a great benefit of private label for the retailer, but it's also a little bit about control. They have more control.
Wait, Walmart's interested in control?
Well, they have more control over packaging, design.
Right.
The whole entire process. Obviously, the economies of scale allow for a margin play. However, when it comes to reaching out to that specific customer, it really gives them control to putting the right product out at the right place at the right time and giving that customer what they need every day, a great value choice.
Now, one of the key things you do, your main focus of your business is working with suppliers. What are you telling suppliers now? Kind of a two-part question. What are you telling suppliers in terms of taking advantage of those opportunities in private label? And what are suppliers coming back to you with in terms of their questions, their most common questions about private label?
For the most part, suppliers are very curious on how to expand their distribution to Walmart. So private label gives them an alternate solution. If they are a national brand already, it's definitely something for them to consider to offer alternative or to keep their production lines going. Questions, however, that come to play are people who are currently doing business with private business-to-business manufacturers, let's just say they're supplying at the industry level.
Okay.
They might have wonderful products, no national presence, and they are very interested in coming in and showing what they have to offer Walmart and their consumer without necessarily having to invest in research and development and marketing. That's the biggest opportunity there. That is the largest cost with national brands, and when you become private label, they take that out of the equation. And in turn, I think the advantage for Walmart suppliers, if they do private label, is they gain that collaborative relationship with Walmart to basically learn more about their customer. Insights, market trends, things that perhaps they wouldn't have access to because they don't play at the national level. Questions are, what categories can I get engaged in, and what kind of, if I already have a national brand, will it cannibalize my current product breakout?
Well, that's a great question. How much of that does happen? How much cannibalization does happen?
I think that depends on the category.
Okay.
I would say that perhaps an OTC, over-the-counter, I think that you're going to see the cost difference. Again, going back to marketing and research and development, that's something that has already been spent by the national brand, so the private label can come in and capture that market share very easily. Maybe perhaps in food, it's also very competitive. It just depends on the category for what it is. It depends on how strong a brand presence is with that consumer.
That's Jamie Dennis, the CEO of VendorMasters, speaking with Michael Tilley about the growth of private label products in the world of retail. Their conversation is part of our Supply Side series of videos. You can find those on our sister website at talkbusiness.net. When we come back, trivia from the state banking sector. Which Arkansas bank is making the most profit so far this year? I'll have the answer after the break.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas, and it shows in your banking experience. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. That's because First Security is 100% focused on serving customers all across the state and nowhere else. It's local banking with local commitment. First Security. Bank better. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. And OneCom. OneCom, providing voice and data solutions that adapt to today's demand with tomorrow's technology. Communication tools that integrate mobility with the desktop and merge wired networks with the wireless technology. More at one-comm.com or 479-715-8800.
Finally today, our trivia question from the state banking industry. Do you know which Arkansas-based bank had the highest profit through the first 6 months of 2017? The answer is Little Rock-based Bank of the Ozarks with $179.7 million. And that represents about 30% of the cumulative profit earned by all 98 Arkansas banks through the first half of the year. Centennial Bank of Conway had the second highest profit in the first 6 months this year at $102.9 million. Fayetteville Chartered Arvest Bank was in third place with $69 million in profit through June. And that's all the time we have today for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Enjoy the rest of your week. I'm Paul Gatling. Thanks for listening.